The New York Rangers are rolling. Patrick Kearns from the fourth period joins us. Eight straight wins for the Blue Shirts. And suddenly, Patrick, they are looking like the team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Yeah, things are all kind of coming together for the Rangers now. And with the eight straight, and they play tonight in Dallas and try to make it nine, it really seems like this team has kind of gotten rolling after a slow start.
What's been the big difference? Are they just playing, you know, was it fatigue? Was it a hangover? What do you think?
I think the whole team is finally healthy now. I think I saw the record today. There's something like 10-1 when both Dan Boyle and Ryan McDonagh are in the lineup. So I think getting their full defense core healthy was very important. You know, both of those guys missed a significant chunk of time. And as always, Henrik Lundqvist did not have the best start to the season. He's kind of calmed down and been a stabilizing factor on the back end there. So, you know, a combination of those two things has really got this team in the right direction.
Henrik Lundqvist, of course, is huge for that team, and they've done this dealing with the mumps, or you know, kind of the, you know, it's impacted a few guys in their team. And when you see how much it's impacted Pittsburgh, the players have been able, I guess, to block out the fact that some of them might have the mumps.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Rangers, you know, Tanner Glass, you never wish it on anybody, but if it's somebody's going to get it, a guy like Tanner Glass is not a huge impact player. It's not a guy like Henrik Lundqvist that got it. So, you know, having guys like Tanner Glass and Lee Stepniak miss a little bit of time, I think Derek Brassard only missed two games with it. So they haven't really been hit by it too hard. Obviously, you hope that maybe they're over and done with it now. You never know when the next case might emerge, as you know, it's still going around the league right now, but hopefully the Rangers think they're in the clear.
And it's going around mainly, you know, right around New York, Pittsburgh, New Jersey. You know, the Canadian team, especially out west, for the most part, have avoided it. And I wonder, have the Rangers done anything special to try to ensure it doesn't impact anyone else in their team?
Well, they've been quarantining guys as soon as they're showing any sort of symptoms. I know Derek Brassard first started to show symptoms when the Rangers were in Western Canada, and they flew him home on a private plane without any of the other players back to New York. And other than that, you know, all the typical things, all the guys in the team have gotten their boosters. We've been told that they're not 100% effective, so there's still a good chance that, you know, you could get the mumps if you have the booster or got your second booster. So it's a whole big thing now with this league, but it's something I certainly never thought we'd be talking about on the radio when discussing hockey.
Do you think Rick Nash is going to get Hart Trophy consideration?
I do think if he keeps up the current pace, he's got to, because he's had such a big impact on the Rangers. Because they struggled so much at the beginning of the season, he really was able to carry them. Obviously, I think it's probably Tyler Seguin's trophy right now, but, you know, there's a lot of hockey left to play, and if Rick Nash keeps the scoring pace that he's got to be up in the top five at least.
Well, when you consider there's only one other player on their team who has even more than eight goals, it you know, that's a team that, you know, their offense has become definitely more of an offense by numbers group recently, but is that still the one area that you think Glenn Sather might try to improve on before the deadline?
I think he's always looking to, you know, at least maybe bring the guy on the left side. They've been a little weaker on the left wing this year. I know Marty St. Louis, Rick Nash, and Matt Zuccarello all like to play on the right side, ideally. So if he could balance his lineup out, you know, and get another good, strong player on the left wing, that would probably be one area that they'd look to add.
Staying with the New York area, I want to get your thoughts on the Islanders. They're not going away, man. Like, the Islanders are pretty legit. And then at the other end, you've got the New Jersey Devils that are going the other way. Peter DeBoer gets fired during the Christmas break. Are the Devils that bad in your mind, and are the Islanders that legit in your mind?
I think we're seeing kind of the true colors of both teams. I'll start with the Islanders first. The Islanders have been a dangerous offensive team for a couple of years now, and they finally addressed their biggest deficiencies in the offseason, which was getting a legitimate number one goaltender in Halakin, who's kind of been an underrated guy in his entire career, and then adding some stability on the back end, especially with a young guy like Nick Leddy. Yeah, the Islanders addressed their biggest areas of need. I would not be surprised to see the Islanders finish second in the Metro this year, and I said it before the season, this is a legit team that could give anybody headaches. As far as the Devils are concerned, this is an old, aging forward core, and I think that that's on the GM, Lou Lamoriello. He hasn't done anything really to address this team's offensive deficiencies, especially since Ilya Kovalchuk bolted back to the KHL and Zach Parise went to Minnesota. You know, there's just not top offensive talent on this this team. You can't rely on guys like Patrick Elias and Jaromir Jagr to carry a team every night when they're aging players. They've got a lot of good young pieces on defense, and they've got a solid goaltender in there. They just need to do something about this kind of wasteland that is a forward core.
What do you think they can do? And when I was stunned, the one stat that stood out to me, 15 coaches in New Jersey in the last 13 years. Like, at what point do you think the organization says goodbye to Lou Lamoriello?
Well, I mean, you know, Lou's even done it where he's fired guys with a week to go into the playoffs for a first-place Devils team. You know, and that was a number of years ago. But, you know, Lou's never been shy about pulling the trigger and then stepping behind the bench himself. And giving guys, I believe he gave McLean only, 20 games or something like that before he let them go. You know, Lou is always a guy that has never really gotten any criticism because he's got the history, the three Stanley Cups. He went to another one a couple of years ago. You know, he was such a dominant, he put together such dominant teams in the late 90s and early 2000s that he's built up, so much gravitas around him. But it should be certainly time with new ownership in New Jersey to kind of look to go in another direction, I would think.
Well, it'll be interesting to see New Jersey's trying the Edmonton model where the GM stays on the bench for a while. That didn't work in Edmonton very well, and now Todd Nelson is going to be the legitimate interim head coach. I wonder how many games Lou Lamoriello is actually behind the bench for the Devils.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because they don't technically have Lou as the coach. You've got Adam Oates and Scott Stevens as co-coaches right now. So you've got kind of a three-headed monster thing behind the bench in New Jersey. Maybe like a coaching by committee thing. I don't think even they know what's really going on there, but we'll see how it works.
Appreciate your time, my man.
All right, I appreciate you having me on.